Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to preface our gospel lesson today with an account from the book of Genesis, and it concerns the patriarch Jacob. And it says that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So the great patriarch Jacob wrestled with God and received blessing from the Lord after an all-night wrestling match. That is a nice segue into our gospel lesson for this morning, because the gospel lesson reminds every Christian that there are times when God chooses to wrestle with us. He chooses to struggle with us. Now, he doesn't ask our permission, but there are times when God struggles with his dear Christians. And we must bear in mind, as believers in the Word of God, that when God so acts with his people, he means it for a good, salutary purpose. You and I, as we read and think about this text of Holy Scripture, we are given a God's eye view that the disciples didn't have at the time, and the woman certainly didn't have, but Jesus did. And we are able, by reading and thinking about this passage, we are able to see the thing as Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Ghost saw it. Bear in mind, as you read the Bible, there's context. In the pericopes, the texts just before our gospel lesson, we learn that Jesus was busy conducting his public ministry in Galilee. He leaves Galilee, comes way out of his way up into the country of Tyre and Sidon. That is, he leaves the land of Israel and goes into what we would now call Lebanon. All right? And the only thing that scriptures record for us in his trip to Lebanon is his dealing with this woman. And then right after he deals with this woman, he goes back into Israel and back down to the Sea of Galilee and resumes his ordinary course of his mission. So, we must conclude from this that Jesus came way out of his way just to answer this woman's prayer. But it doesn't look that way when you're standing on the ground and you're seeing the thing happen. Just like in our lives, whenever some kind of tribulation, some kind of bodily problem, it comes into our life, we don't see it as the gracious hand of God, who when he visits us with affliction, when he lays crosses upon us, he does so for our ultimate good and growth. He does so for the strengthening of our faith. This is what trials are all about. Trial is when God puts our faith to the test. Jacob experienced that as an angel wrestling with him throughout the night. And after the wrestling was over, the angel blessed him. So, here today, let's consider the victorious battle of Christians with God. The victorious battle of Christians with God. And the first thing that we learn is that God at times struggles with his dear Christians whom he loves. He struggles with us, and he does this for our good. How do we see this in our text? Well, it says that they're in Tyre and Sidon, and it says, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying. The word cried could also be translated as, and she was crying to him. In other words, she didn't just say one little prayer and then stand stock still, right? She was crying unto him. And what did she say? Have mercy on me, O Lord. She was in faithful expectation that the Lord, Jesus, the Lord, would help her, that he was able to help her, and that he would help her. So she prays, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She confesses that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So here is a woman, though she is a Gentile, and though her pedigree comes from the ancient Canaanites, whom God severely opposed, nevertheless, she has heard the teachings of Jesus and of his miracles indirectly by word of mouth, and she has come to faith in him as not only the Messiah of Israel, but the Savior of the world. And so she prays a prayer of true faith. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. What's the problem? My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Somehow, and the text of scripture doesn't go into the details, somehow her little daughter had become seriously, grievously demon-possessed. All right? So her daughter was demon-possessed, and she believed and trusted that the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, the Lord himself, not only could, but would help her. So God has dealt with her by first of all allowing such a temporal distress and affliction to come into her life. We don't know how long it had been going on. We just know that it was going on, and that we know from God's eye view, we know that Jesus planned and put into action his plan to come to this woman and to help her, right? But here we see that sometimes the Lord visits us with sickness, with trouble, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one. You can just fill in the blanks of all the kinds of troubles, physical, outward, temporal troubles that can come into the life of a Christian at times to try our faith. And in addition to these temporal troubles, there are severe temptations that accompany it for the soul. And we're going to talk about these one by one, but I'll just answer them here quickly. Number one is the problem of unanswered prayers. That is when we pray to the Lord and he doesn't right away answer our prayer, and we are left hanging and the ceilings feel like bronze against our prayers. The other temptation of the soul is to think that maybe God is not concerned about me because I am not one of his chosen people. I am not one of God's elect. Therefore, God is not concerned about me. All right? And then the third distress of the soul is, I am not worthy of God's help. I deserve only his chastisement and punishment and not his help. So the woman comes in faith, and it says that to this faithful prayer, this faithful believing prayer, it says of Jesus that he answered her not a word. That is, he acted as if he didn't even hear her. And the situation became very embarrassing. You got Jesus and his disciples, and this woman continually crying out without abasement. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And so we see here that Jesus first acts upon her as if he doesn't even hear, as if he's got better things to do than to listen to the ravings of this woman. And there are times when you and I experience the same kind of things in the midst of our troubles and trials. We are praying to the Lord, and it seems as if God is not paying attention. It seems as if he is unconcerned. Our prayers apparently go unheard. And so it is that the woman has to deal with this. Then the disciples, finally, they're so embarrassed by this uncharacteristic treatment of Jesus towards this woman who is in need. They're so embarrassed by this that they go to him and they beg him to please heal her. Heal her and get rid of her, because she's crying after us. This is becoming a scene, all right? So when it says send her away, it means give her what she's asking so that she can leave and go back to her daughter. Give her what she's seeking. And Jesus speaks not to the woman, but he speaks to the disciples who have just begged him, please give her what she asks. Send her away. She's crying after us. So Jesus says to the disciples, I am only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right? So he says to the disciples, still not even talking to this woman, but he says to the disciples in her hearing, I am only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there's the idea that this woman is not one of the chosen. She is not one of the elect. She cannot expect any help from me. Right? So then, what happens here? She came instead of giving up, instead of sadly shaking her head and going away in defeat. She comes right up close and she falls down on her face. She worshiped him and she said with gusto, Lord, help me. So she responds to what she's been given by saying, Lord, help me. She, the modern terminology, she doubles down. Okay? And so then the third thing comes along. It says, Jesus responds to this. He responds to it by saying to her, it's not right to take the children's food and cast it to dogs. Now, that's a tough statement. He compares her to a dog and the people of Israel as the children. The children have food that's appropriate to them, but the Gentiles are dogs, and it's not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. And so, any other person would have, with that word, turned and walked away. But this woman, she catches Jesus. She catches him. Because when he said, cast it to the dogs, he used the word that is to be translated little dogs, not wild street dogs, but household pets. In other words, Jesus makes one little entry point, and this woman grabs it, right? She grabs it, and she says to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She turns what could have easily offended her, could have easily broken her spirit and sent her away utterly dejected. She takes this word of Jesus and grabs hold of it and turns it into a prayer of faith. And she says, even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know, picture a household with family and kids sitting around the table, and the dog, maybe even the cat, you know, but certainly the dog, under the table, waiting for stuff to drop. And there's always that kid who is like secretly shoving stuff under the table, right? And the dog knows who that kid is and hangs close by that kid. So here, this woman, she takes this word of Jesus and she turns it around on him. And he is delighted, right? So let's, before we get to the climax here, let's review. Number one, the trial of having a demon-possessed daughter. There are some things that happen to us in our lives that there's no way that we can describe them as enjoyable. They are trials, troubles, and crosses that God calls upon us to bear. And in addition to those things, we often have to deal with the experience of unanswered prayers. Times when we are praying in faith, but nothing seems to happen. And sometimes when nothing happens, we begin to think, well, maybe, you know, maybe I've been kidding myself for my whole life. Maybe I am not one of the elect. Maybe God has no plan to save me. Maybe I have been joking with myself my whole life. My religion has been a sham. Not that the Christian faith or the Bible is a sham, but I have wrongly applied it to myself because I'm not one of the elect. We can drive ourselves to despair with speculating like that. But it is one of the afflictions of soul that happens to us when we're going through rough times in our life. We pray and nothing seems to happen. Maybe I'm not one of God's predestined chosen people. Or the other half, we may not go that far as to speculate about our eternal election, but we may begin to feel, you know, maybe I'm a dog. Maybe I'm just not worthy. Maybe what Jesus said is true. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You know, I'm far from perfect. Maybe I don't deserve God to answer my prayer. Now, of course, as a side note here, of course you don't deserve God to answer your prayer. God never tells you to pray and to believe in him because you deserve anything. It's all a gift of grace. And the Lord is the God of all grace who came into the world to be the Redeemer and Savior of unworthy sinners. This is what the gospel is all about. Of course we don't deserve it. Of course we're not worthy. But that has nothing to do with the truth of the gospel, all right? And this woman knows this. Somehow, in the face of this blast of negativity that has come on into her face from Jesus, she takes this final word and she turns it around. So those are the trials of soul that accompany the trials of the body. All right, how does this woman overcome like this? What does she do? How does she face the fact and win the victory here in her wrestling match with the Lord Jesus? Number one, she never gives up her patience and humility. If anything, having a demon-possessed daughter has taught her patience and humility. And she comes to Jesus, and in the face of all of these no's being thrown at her like rocks, she continues to patiently pray. And she does not suddenly become angry and defensive because Jesus is offending her with his negative treatment. She continues to be humble, all right? And so way number one, when you are going through tribulation and trouble, is to remain patient and humble. Not to say one prayer in your trouble and then go, oh, well, I guess prayer doesn't work, right? You know how it goes. Patience and humility, that's number one. Number two, to continue to pray without ceasing. Notice that it says that this woman, she comes out of the coast of that land and she is crying unto him, have mercy on me. And the disciples say, send her away, for she is crying after us. She's following them. She's praying the whole time. And when Jesus, the second time, says no, all right, she falls down on her knees and she says, Lord, help me. Right? Lord, help me. And then when Jesus says the word that would send anyone normal away, but not a faithful believer, right? She takes the word little dogs, she grabs hold of it, and turns it into a promise. And so she overcomes by her patience and humility, number one, by her ardent, unceasing prayer. You know, Jesus tells the story of the importunate woman who goes to the unjust judge, and she continues to seek justice for her cause, and finally the judge gives her what she wants, not because he cared about her, but because he was getting sick and tired of being pestered by her. I'll give her what she wants and get rid of her, and she'll stop pestering me. And at the beginning of that parable of the unjust judge, it says that people ought always to pray and not to faint, to pray and not give up, be persistent in our prayers. This woman had learned to be persistent in her prayers, and the trials that Jesus is seeing fit to put her through only serve to strengthen her faith, to strengthen her persistence, and to benefit her. That's what it means that these things happen to us for our good, right? And so Jesus, and then the final thing is this. This is a woman who heard and kept the word of God. And this is the most important, to hear and keep the word of God. This woman didn't have a Bible. This woman didn't have a rabbi. She heard through the grapevine. How do people up in Lebanon hear about what's going on in Israel? They hear it from travelers. They hear it from visitors. They hear it from people in many different walks of life. And so she heard the teachings and miracles of Jesus, and she concluded that he is the long-promised Messiah. And then when she deals with Jesus, she pays careful, close attention to his word. And when he gives one little syllable that enables her to grab hold, she turns it into a promise and she wrestles with him, and he can only say, oh woman, Great is your faith. I have thrown both barrels at you. I have done all I could do to discourage you. Not because I don't want to help you. I'm here in order to help you. But for your good and for your need, I have dealt with you roughly. And look, great is your faith. You know, and then he says, be it unto you even as thou wilt. And so he assures her that she has the answer to her prayer, so that when she went home, her daughter was released from this demonic possession that had possessed her for goodness knows how long. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus goes back to Galilee. You see, he planned to come to this woman long before she ever planned to pray for, to expect him to come. He came. He dealt with her. Part of that dealing was a wrestling match, just as it is with us. There are times when we are called upon as Christians to wrestle and to continue to, number one, remain humble and patient. Number two, be ardent and unceasing in our prayers. And number three, to hold fast to the word of God and not let our experiences and our feelings cloud our vision from the word of God. And the answer and the gracious work of God will be done. It's not pleasant when God wrestles with us. Jacob had his hip out of joint as a result of it. It's not always pleasant when God wrestles with us, but it is a good and salutary and necessary thing. And in the end, his grace triumphs over every question, and we are the stronger for having gone through it. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.